New California, and the reason why we need New California, and we're going to ask Paul some questions about how do we go, where do we go, where are we, and what do we need to do to make this happen. Thank you for joining me, Paul.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Will. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, yeah, same here. You know, for a lot of people who don't know, Paul and a group of Tea Party, I believe you're a part of the Tea Party.
Oh, yeah. For a long time.
They invited me to a little, I guess it's a monthly thing that you have or a weekly thing.
It's bi-monthly, so the first and third. Monthly? Yeah,
okay.
It's the first and third Mondays.
It was a real honor to be there. There's some absolutely wonderful people. You know, the left tried to put this stigma on the Tea Party, which is not true at all. You know, the Tea Party just loves this nation, just like the rest of us. So, but anyways, enough about that. We came to talk about New California. For everyone that just joined us that don't know about New California, can you give us the rundown on what New California is and why you started New California, this movement?
Yeah, well, New California started really a number of years ago when I do a radio show called Agenda 21 Radio. And I started this up after about 11 or 12 years doing a radio show called the Inside Education Show, that there was something really, really absolutely wrong and appalling going on in our nation. I saw it in the education system. I retired from education after 41 years and saw the takeover, if you will, of the globalist in the education system for the K-12 system here in California, and it was just getting appalling. And by 2011, I really discovered Agenda 21 and the real grand plan behind it. And then it was really obvious to me what was going on in terms of education. And I said to myself, how can we stop this? Because really what this is totalitarianism. It's the rise of, you know, after World War II and the Cold War, go figure, these people never left. Here they are again, you know, the Adolf Hitlers and the communists of the world and totalitarians, basically. They're back in the form and the guise of United Nations Agenda 21. So it became my mission at that point in time to expose it. And then I said to myself, you know, here in California, gee, it looks a lot like totalitarianism is going on right here in California. And of course, you had the Obama thing going on. It was spelling itself out so clearly. And they were getting just absolutely flagrant with being so overt in how they were rolling their totalitarian mindset out. And as we were reporting, myself, Chris Street, and others, over the years, we started to realize that this is really a serious, serious problem in our country. So we focused on California because we said to ourselves, there's one way in which we can actually derail what's going on, and that is to actually form a new state and stop the California movement towards totalitarianism, which is really their secondary plan is to get California completely saturated with the totalitarian isms, if you will,
right,
all those things that make you a totalitarian state, and then spread it to the rest of the nation. So as a true blue Californian, I was born in Erie, Pennsylvania, and moved out here when I was 6 months old and been on ever since. I did not want to leave California like a lot of people were doing, and I recognized that flight of the middle class out of California was having a devastating effect on California. And then I realized about Jerry Brown. I always thought it was kind of weird that Jerry Brown was elected to a third and fourth term. And, of course, I've had some experience dealing with people down in Sacramento in my superintendent days and so on. And I just put two and two together, that the corruption, how deep it was and where it was going. And then I looked at the election systems going on in California, and I realized what a mess we were truly in, and the gerrymandering and all that. So I joined up with the Jefferson Movement early on and became part of their leadership team. And I recognized right then and there, we can actually stop with the statehood movement. And then after studying the Constitution and seeing how everything lays out, and it's all described right there in the Constitution, how you do it. And then you have to go to the history books and dive into things like West, you know, Virginia and things of that nature, the Civil War. And all of a sudden, history is all of a sudden right here in front of your faces, and you're realizing statehood has reasons for it, and the Founding Fathers constructed the Constitution so that if there was a rise of a tyrant in one of the states of the Union, there was a mechanism by which the people can actually stop it and actually form another state and rid themselves of the current state that they're living in. And so that I recognized that through the Jefferson Movement. And then about 4 years ago, 4 years ago, that movement went to a different direction following a lawsuit, which was completely improper because in the Constitution, Article 4, Section 3, it doesn't call for a lawsuit to get a state split. So there was a real schism with myself and with many, many others. And a lot of us left, and ultimately a year and a half, 2 years ago, started up with the New California Movement. It wasn't known as that. It was known as another name. It ultimately evolved after about 4 counties, 6 counties, 12 counties, 18 counties coming on board with the notion that, and again, I always had this notion, this was a big argument with the Jefferson folks, that in order to form a state, we have to show like in West Virginia, that we can govern ourselves. And that was a key component by which the leadership of Jefferson at the time really resisted and didn't want to do that. They thought that the lawsuit was able to solve that. Well, nowhere in the Constitution does it say a lawsuit gets you a new state. It just doesn't work. It's like putting a round peg in a square hole. Nor, like with Tim Draper's proposition for 3 states, it doesn't say anything about a ballot proposition or even people voting to form a new state. That just doesn't happen. And so they were very, very misguided, and of course they still are today. You can see what's happening. Their programs are really kind of dissolving. But ours is really growing because we've kept that notion together. And as we have grown, we got incorporated, we did all the right things legally, and all of a sudden, boom, we're up and running. And Will, one thing led to another, and now we've got 51 counties that in the state of California. This is the big announcement for that today. After yesterday, we kind of sealed the deal with these counties. We found a way to 51, and we are at 51 counties of the 58 counties have a committee, or will soon have their committees completely formed in the state of California. I mean, this is just phenomenal. Wow. It's just phenomenal.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
So this is how it started. It started to basically come together, and very quickly, because the people of California and the rest of the nation recognize how dire it is right now. And again, the classic example, a very good example, is what you experienced this last Saturday up in Portland. This is where they're going now. The next step for these totalitarians is violence. And you clearly pointed that out in your great reporting up there. All you brave people up there were doing a fantastic job. And we've been trying to get the word out about this is what they're going to next. And, you could see it with the Obama administration. They were not afraid to kill Americans and kill citizens of the United States of America. They did that with Lavoie Finicum and all the mass shootings and all that stuff. And that's where they're going. That's clearly where they're going. And we think that a new California, a new state, will draw so much attention from them, it will destroy them, and will basically preserve the union by creating a new state.
Yeah. So, I had Ruth on with me last Thursday.
Right.
And after she came on with me, I had people from the state of Jefferson started sending me messages.
Right.
And I was asking them questions, but they would not give me my answers.
Right.
And one of the questions I had for them was that, well, they were telling me that I need to look into the state of Jefferson before I jump on board with New California to figure out what's going on. They were saying that the state of Jefferson is the way to go. New California is not. Then I asked a simple question. I said, so tell me how the state of Jefferson is constitutional by suing. And as soon as I did that, they dropped off. They didn't have any more, they didn't want to say anything else to me. They didn't want to have any more dialogue or anything. So why, if it's not by the Constitution, why are they pushing it? And I don't mean to go and talk about the state of Jefferson because that's not what this is about. But the state of Jefferson is almost, to me, it's almost like competing, just like the one they have for on the ballot come this November, where they're going to split the state up into 3 states, Northern California, Southern California, and then just California. So I want to talk a little bit about that. But why are they going by it, trying to sue when it's not constitutional, and do they think they're going to get anywhere with it? I'm really confused, because I do need to learn more about it, but I'm really confused. And maybe you can just briefly give me some insight on it.
Well, I think originally I naively thought that these people were just thinking this is the way, the pathway, to get a new state. And then I did my confrontation with him, and I said, you know, okay, let's talk about this. How are we, with a lawsuit, going to get a new state? Of which there was a great deal of banter back and forth over days, which they had no answer. It's just like exactly what they did to you. The leadership felt it was best to go that route. They're going to try and overturn Reynolds versus Sims, which I doubt they're going to do. The best way to overturn Reynolds versus Sims, as we're finding out, is New California moving forward with our process and the unique way in which we form our county committees. It's going to destroy Reynolds versus Sims, which is what they're trying to do with a so-called million-dollar lawsuit. It's not going to happen. It's impossible constitutionally to happen. And, of course, they have no ground game. They claim that they have a ground game with 23 counties. That is not true. They have maybe 12 or 13 active counties. County petitions that they've submitted to the Secretary of State, I suspect, for 23 counties, which mean nothing. It means nothing. And then they go out and make the false claim that they've actually tried to work with the legislature. That's completely false. They did not. I was there. I saw it. I was appalled at what they were doing and how that they were very confrontational with the state legislature. So they've destroyed that route. They've completely destroyed that route to get a state, at least with this current legislature, and I don't see it happening anywhere near in the future. Here's the bigger problem, though, Will. Let's say they represent 23 counties. Well, and we all want the same thing. I'm not disparaging the effort of the people of Jefferson that are working really, really hard, because I was one of those people. I get it. We want a new state. We all collectively want a new state. But you're not going to get a new state when you have 23 counties that represents about 1.5 million people in a state of 39 million. And so, you know, we thought globally, it just sort of makes a lot of sense, go out and get the rural areas of California. Well, then when you do that, you get 18 million rural Californians. Now, that is clout, and that is substantial clout to use in negotiations that, again, going the right way into forming a new state by sitting down with your state legislature. That's the first thing you got to do. Right. You come in with 18 million people, you're at pretty good parity with the rest of the California, which is at 21 million at that point.
Right. So let me ask you, what would prevent New California from taking place? Because I'm pretty sure you're going to get pushback. We're going to get people that don't want it to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the liberals, they're the ones that's pushing the three states.
Oh, yeah.
So how do we prevent them from stopping it?
Well, you know, we just keep moving forward. This is the problem that they have, and it's a big problem they have. It's a problem they've never wanted. I've talked to people in this current state administration. I've talked to legislators. They know that they did not want this to happen. What's happening right now, following the Constitution. They have no remedy, no way of stopping it. Lawsuits are not going to... What, are you going to sue us for First Amendment rights because we're gathering together and we're actually sitting down and negotiating something or talking with our legislators, which is what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to represent. They are, after all, our servants. We are not theirs.
Exactly.
Hello. And they're not going to... They can sue us all they want. It's going to be tossed immediately out of court. We've got this... You know, we've got a pretty good legal authorities on this, and so this is the beast they did not want, and it's the people.
So if anything, they'll come at New California trying to sue you to stop with New California, even though they're going to try to sue you for following the Constitution.
Yeah, that's basically it. That's the beauty of
it. Okay, we got to sue them for following the Constitution.
Right.
The judge like, are you seriously? You're out of here. I mean, any judge with rational thinking would throw that out.
Right, and you know, there's a lot of stumbling blocks along the way. There's a lot of things we have to overcome, but I really believe that at the end of the day, the legislature is absolutely going to be open arms to accepting our proposals. One of the big things, and you may be hearing about this, is California is headed toward a major recession, which means that the tax revenue that Jerry Brown has been foisting upon us through various taxes, and of course it looks like that gas tax is going to be repealed. That's another loss of $15 billion. So there's going to be a point here really, really soon, as tech stocks collapse, and you see the collapse of what's going on in Silicon Valley right now, The money from their taxes is not going to be there. And within the 18 months to 2 years, California is going to be in dire financial straits. And everybody in the financial world understands that. Yet New California, with a new constitution, will absolutely open up the gates for new business, for entrepreneurial behavior, will change education overnight with the Constitution. All the things that have been plaguing and making all the negatives in California, creating, you know, 58,000 people in Los Angeles are homeless, another almost 30,000 in Orange County. And, you know, I went down there, and I was down there at the around the same time the InfoWars people were walking along the Santa Ana River, which is my where I grew up as a kid, and in that river right there at Anaheim Stadium area. It was appalling. 3,000-4,000 people living in squalor, and that you couldn't imagine that in my own hometown of Orange County. And we should not be tolerating that sort of thing in California. But even right now, down the road from me, along the Feather River, there's about 3,000 people who live there along the riverbank. I mean, this is just amazing, and that's because we've lost through overtaxation, overregulation. Our middle class out of California, and businesses have been fleeing and creating this huge displacement that we're seeing. So we're going to come in with a new constitution, and we're going to come in with a new way of doing business, much like Texas, and actually much like the original California was, which caused California to prosper. And we're going to do the same thing. There's some very simple things we're going to do to change everything, and it's going to stop California's totalitarians in their tracks.
Yeah, you know what? That absolutely sounds wonderful that, you know, California, because I remember when I was younger, everybody wanted to go to California because California, there was the land. I mean, it was truly the land of opportunity.
Right.
Now, the Democrats have removed that opportunity, and they're purposely driving people out of the state. And rumor has it, you know, before I moved to California, they did the 7 cents gas tax. This past November, they did a 12 cents gas tax. Rumor has it they're about to do a 50 cents gas tax on top. Not only that, they've the registration for vehicles, they've raised all of that. So where this state is absolutely hurting. And for the life of me, I can't understand why anybody would still vote for the Democrat, knowing that the Democrats are trying to pretty much tax him out of house and home. I mean, it's unbelievable that people will still support that. So I'm really excited about New California, and I'm really looking forward to the convention that's coming up. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the convention. But before we get to the convention, let's talk about how they're trying to do the three states.
Okay.
And can you elaborate a little bit on that, how they're trying to break up California into three states? And why do you think they're trying to do it that route?
Well, you know, Tim Draper is kind of an interesting guy. He's a globalist. He's absolutely a globalist. His father is a noted globalist of George Bush era. Went to Harvard, Skull and Bones, and all that stuff. And he works with and has been associated with all the nonprofits of the United Nations. That's his dad, who's a billionaire, entrepreneur, venture capitalist.
And so he has ties with George Soros.
Absolutely. This is all Soros operational stuff, all this stuff. Of course, Soros has his hands in so many things. Joan Blades with MoveOn.org. Of course, you're hearing about all the weekend experiences. In California, I was getting stories from San Diego about Joan Blades, MoveOn.org. It's a Soros operator. The first place George Soros goes and spends his money is with Joan Blades. That's his major distributor for cash. And, of course, what was she doing over the weekend? They were supplying all the money and the logistical support for all these protests, bringing in people like in Portland and Southern California, Orange County and San Diego County.
It was nationwide. I actually went and looked at the MoveOn.org website, and they were showing all of the protests that they were having throughout the nation.
Right.
And one thing about the protests that they were having throughout the nation, not a single time did you get any reports or any news reports from conservatives going out attacking
not one.
The people on the left having their rallies. Not a single time. But, you know, we have this one simple single rally in Portland, and then Antifa, BLM, and BAM decide to all want to come attack us. just because we want to keep our free speech. But I digress. Go ahead and continue about the three states.
The Tim Draper notion is come. I believe this. A lot of these statehood things have been deliberately set in motion to distract people from other problems and to keep them with a sense of security that there's a way out of our financial situation. I think these things are actually hatched out in anywhere from 2000 to 2009, and ultimately came into fruition with Jerry Brown being elected for a third and fourth term, which is a very corrupt way in which they did it. Very, in my opinion, never was really challenged in the courts. And of course, that gets to another issue here in California about the voting system. See, we in New California realize it's all corrupt, you know, including the voting, especially the voting system, which, by the way, elected integrity. I know the Trump administration is actually planning some things to take legal action in California, which is a long overdue. The corruption here is replete. And we saw it play out with Travis Allen here. Travis Allen was a victim, just like Bernie Sanders was. Now, I'm not a Bernie Sanders supporter from 2016 or anything like that. No. I'm 180 degrees opposite of him. But you know what? He got had with Hillary Clinton in the June 7th primary. It was ridiculous. He was overwhelmingly the most positive Democrat there, and he was slammed. You know, and again, that was a vote against the one world order globalist Hillary Clinton. Yet Bernie Sanders got slammed, which was stupid. And then this happened to Travis Allen. As you know, Travis Allen, like Bernie Sanders, he had large crowds. Hillary and John Cox, you know, up here to show you the disparity. There was supposed to be a meeting in our area, 250 people to be at the meeting. You know how many people showed up to see John Cox? Five.
Really?
Five. I mean, and I said to the people, I said, what's the evidence there that you're looking for?
So why do you think the GOP did what they did? Well, I mean, because it's clear that the GOP had their hand all in this to get Cox to be the front runner. It's almost like they don't want to win. I know we're not coming on here to talk about that.
No, but it's all part of the same thing. It's all part of the same thing. But you're,
I mean, it's absolutely, I mean, I can see it firsthand. That what took place,
right.
And it's because of the GOP here in California. It's like they don't want to win. They're content with the Democrats controlling everything.
Well, I'll give you the real evidence behind it all. Jim Brulte, who's the leader of the GOP, one of the leaders, and what's his name, Charles Munger Jr., who's a big money guy. They have deliberately, systematically destroyed the Republican Party in California. And it makes a lot of sense if you think about it, that Republican Party of California was first being run up and destroyed in 1994 with the Orange County bankruptcy. And when they did that, they bankrupt Orange County, which was the premier Republican area of California and the nation. But it showed very badly on them. And what happened was the unions got moneyed big time. All of a sudden, after the Orange County bankruptcy, for some strange reason, Bill Clinton starts to show up in Orange County. And in fact, when the bankruptcy happened in 94, between December of 94 and November of 96, Bill Clinton visited Orange County 28 times to visit with union leaders in Southern California. And before that, he'd only visited twice. Well, what he was doing, and we know this from Trevor Loudon's book and other sources, he was pouring money into the unions, SEIU and so on. Not since 1996 has there been a Republican-dominated assembly or Senate now. Not since. That's one of the things. The other part of it was Jerry Brown using Prop 140 in 1990 during the term limits debate, getting a third and fourth term by the language that was written in there, and he comes on board in 2010. Well, it's not a strange phenomena, but they also, by 2008, through Charles Munger's efforts, I might add, the leader of the Republican Party, worked to get a proposition passed to bring about the California Commission on Redistricting for gerrymandering the congressional and assembly and Senate seats, right? Get it? And so they got that one passed, and then they got one passed in 2010 again. And in 2010, they also got passed the guerrilla primary system in which the top two go on regardless of party. That was the coup de grace. That destroyed the two-party system and Republican form of government in California. And that was all funded by the guy who heads the Republican Party, Charles Munger Jr., right now. So we saw this play out also with a guy by the name of Neil Kashkari, who ran for governor against Tim Donnelly in 2014. What a schmuck he is. He actually worked for the Department of Treasury was hired in the last month of the Bush administration when we had the big bankruptcies, the big banks going broke, you know, too big to fail business. And as part of that, they brought in Neel Kashkari to be an assistant Treasury secretary. Now, his job, are you ready for this? His job was to teach the banks that were going to get TARP money. In fact, it was a requirement of the banks to get TARP money, that they had to complete a course on Sharia finance compliance, and that was his job.
What?
Sharia finance compliance.
What?
Listen, you can't make it up. This is what that's what he did. And then he comes out in 2014 and he's running. He's not even a citizen of California. He hadn't been around in California. He's running in the primary against Tim Donnelly, a longtime Californian. And I have some I'm critical of his campaign, but, you know, gosh, he's a Californian. He's been around for a while. But who do they run? Neel Kashkari. And, of course, he lost miserably to Jerry Brown, but that's been part of the setup. And it was the same thing. They got Neel Kashkari in there. This is Jim Brulte and the bow tie, as they call Charles Munger Jr. They got Neel Kashkari in over the – I was at the convention in 2014 down in Burlingame, and I was with the press corps. And I'll tell you, there were some major media people that we all sat around and had a round table – in the press room together, national major media were saying, what is going on? They could see the corruption within the Republican Party at that time of California. And, of course, the rest is history now. We've got what we got. We got the two-party or the top two thing going on now. And I don't know how many. I think in the 2016 cycle there was 28 seats available and 23 had only Democrats running in it for the.
So the corruption here in California is
complete.
It's above and beyond than what we actually know.
Right. Well, you put your finger on it. You're like so many other people now. You get it. You know. You see it, and especially Travis Allen supporters that are really coming into New California. We've got just so many really talented people that are jumping on board now to help create New California. It's a sea change. And that's why I know it's definitely going to happen. I've always known it's going to happen. It's just a matter of timing now when New California. But Tim Draper's program is a no-win program. He's a loser. And I'll tell him that to his face. When I met with him and had him on my radio show two times between 2012 and 2014 as he was proposing the six state solution. And I finally told him, I offered to help him, actually. With what I knew, and I told him what I knew, and his attitude was he didn't appreciate the Constitution of the United States. He thought that was a dumping ground, you know, the same old, oh yeah, and the state California Constitution. So he has no comprehension of that. And of course, what has he done? Okay, he's done exactly as the Founding Father said not to do. And in the Constitution, in Article 4, Section 3, it states specifically that if you want to form a new state from within a state or from portions of a state, then you have to work directly with your state legislature and your Congress, and the Congress. Okay, now, nowhere in there does it say anything about having a lawsuit. Nowhere in there does it say anything about having a vote. That's not the way you do it. And that's basically what I told him. Yet he went out and spent $5 million in 2014, and he didn't even get to the ballot. This time, because I think of New California and our impetus when we declared independence on January 15th, which, by the way, is constitutionally what you're supposed to do, he played off of that and I think drafted and finally got enough signatures after going around, I think, fraudulently telling people it was New California and Jefferson that people were going to get, because we had to fight that battle. His ballot gatherers, signature gatherers were doing that. So he's right back where he was with 2014, and people are tearing his program apart. They're looking at the three state going, wait a minute, you're going to get, ultimately, if you change the demographics in Southern California, which is what they're trying to do now by rushing in all these illegal foreign nationals, you're going to get a third Democratic state there. You'll have three Democratic states yielded from his three-state solution, and that's just a no-go. He's at 72% disapproval on it right now. I don't see that really getting any better for him. So, but again, what did he do, Will? he went and he said, I'm going to do it my way, screw the Constitution. And he went out and gathered the signatures. He got on the ballot. He got on, through the state of California, which is all the wrong way to do it. The founding fathers did not want anybody to work with the state or work with the county officials because they're the people who brought you the problem. And that's why it says
that's why we're in the predicament we're in right now, because of the people who's running the state in California.
Exactly. And so we're going to go to, as the Founding Fathers wants us to do, we're going to go to directly our representatives, as it should be. And that's the Assembly first, Senate second. And that's the way it's set up. And that's they don't stand a chance against us. There's 120 legislators in the state of California. And, of course, they screwed themselves on that when they set that level and never modified it to increase the numbers of senators or assembly members because they wanted the power in a few people. So they should have the double or triple that number. Right now they're very vulnerable because they have only a few, 120 total, 80 assembly members and 20 senators. That's nothing. We have 18 million people that we're going to be representing. And our counties are the ones that are up and running. And right now we're at the point, we just have really, yesterday was the day we closed out the county acquisition. So we're starting to really go after county building right now with committees, and it's working. People are excited. People know that this is the way to go. And, they like I said, these people, when it comes down to the economy and they get the crunch going on in the next 18 months, and we're energized, we've got the county base. And by the way, we're not political. We don't declare a candidate. We don't work with candidates. We're an educational organization. That's the way it's going to be, or a 501c4. And right. So how do they attack that, Will? How do they? They just can't.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about it. So let's talk about the convention that's coming up.
Sure. We declared independence, which is one of the first things you need to do. Your Declaration of Independence needs to articulate with your Constitution and a Bill of Rights. That's what the Founding Fathers laid out, and every successful effort in the United States history and also throughout the world since 1776 was the year in which there was first ever a Declaration of Independence, such as what it was. And from that, there's been hundreds of declarations of independence since then, especially in the New World, in the Western Hemisphere. All the South American and Central American countries all divested themselves with a declaration of independence from Spain and Portugal and Germany to form their own countries. That's a legacy people don't understand, but that's what happened. Our Declaration of Independence did that. West Virginia did it. We did it. We're the first one since 1861 to do it. And by the way, it was the same sort of thing going on. Talk of secession. You have the Calexit thing and all this other stuff to break California away as a new country. All that stuff is happening out there. It's not. That's not going to happen. So we laid it out with the Declaration of Independence. We were number one on Twitter worldwide for several days following. Worldwide. For the Declaration of Independence. Now we've been working on the getting the counties together, and we're actually going to go and have our first constitutional convention July 21st, in which our assembly members and our senators and representatives from the counties are going to meet for the first time since 1879 in California and since 1861 for a constitutional convention that's going to be in Harris Ranch. Historic, absolutely historic, and it's we're just moving along, and quite frankly, we're not really seeking the attention right now. We got a lot of work to do. We're just staying at it. Will, do you realize that Tim Draper has spent at least $5 million on his recent effort again? Do you realize the Jefferson people are at up around $400,000 and they're losing effort? And we, you know, how much money we spent? I think I made this announcement when you were there that at the meeting at one point. We have spent just a little over $13,000. What's wrong with that picture?
Wow, and mean, making more headway than the rest of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just mind-boggling. I was looking at the books, and I'm going, this can't be. We opened up our accounts like in November. We're looking at them going, God. And I started adding it up, and I was stunned. I mean, it's not, we need money, don't get me wrong, but we don't have a big donor. We're getting the money from $5 and $10 and $25 donations. Every once in a while, we get a $50 or $100. That's really big. But, we're eking it out. And, there's been a lot of people like myself and other people on the board that have, we've ponied up the money when we need it and that sort of thing. But that's just what you got to do. You know, you got to do this sort of thing. But that's the right. kind of people we have in the New California movement, that they're willing to do it. And they're sacrificing all over. And we know what the end game is going to be. It's going to be a wonderful state. We'll be one of the tops in the nation. We're going to be a great part of the union. You know, we have a responsibility to be a good state in the union. And we know that in the end of the day, it will be good for not only New California and what we claim in New California, but it'll also be good for California as well, because we know that we're going to be able to help them out with that debt burden, and hopefully they'll change their ways financially, fiscally. I think that's probably the Congress, I think, will probably really, when they get involved, they're really going to take a long look at what's going on in California, and I think the president already is, quite frankly.
Yeah, I would imagine that he is. So before we go, let's tell everyone how they can help out New California. You don't have to live in California to help this movement either.
No.
Because, I mean, California is still part of the United States. Right. And I've heard people saying, well, we need to put a wall around California. You know, then you're giving the Democrats exactly what they want.
And
these
people that are leaving California, stop leaving. Stand your ground. My dad was a Marine. My father-in-law was a Marine. And they taught me, stand your ground. And you need to stand your ground, because you know what? You're going to flee to Idaho and other places. It's going to follow you if we don't stop it here. That's the fact. And that's why we're doing
this. It's already showing up in the virus, the liberalism virus is already showing up in Texas.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't even realize it.
And they don't get it. And I get calls from Texas. In fact, just a little side note, there is an active movement right now in Illinois, and they are following and modeling what we're doing here in New California, and they are going to succeed. And I've had conversations with New York, who wants to start this, and also in Washington. They are excited. This is a national movement as well. We have people that are reading our grievances. We read a grievance every Tuesday at 11 o'clock, which basically pleads our case as to why we want to be a new state and the wrongs, the just incredible wrongs that are going on in California. We are having 11 states at this point in time that are reading our grievances in support of us on Tuesdays. And we're going to hopefully have 24 counties here in the next reading coming up. So that's huge. And these are public declarations as to why we are grieving. It's part of our Declaration of Independence process. But we have this convention coming up. And, of course, people can go to newcaliforniastate.com and donate. Donate $5, $10, $20, whatever you can do. That's really appreciated. That's newcaliforniastate.com. And there's also information about, in the events portion of the menu bar, you can click on that and get all the information about what we're doing on the 21st. And if you want to join us, you will be screened. We have security reasons for doing that, and people will be screened. We already had some Antifa types who want to come. Go figure, right, Will? They want to be part of the party, right?
Antifa.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that's, you know what, Antifa, that's the foot soldiers for the domestic terrorist group, the Democrats.
That's right. Absolutely.
They're the foot soldiers.
You also have
this group that we have in the United States, the Democrats.
You also have La Raza, and you have MS-13, and you have Mecha, those are the ones. I'm very familiar with them. I used to work gangs all the time. I'm very, very familiar with it, what they're up to and why they're trying to reclaim or reconquista California and those states from Guadalupe Hidalgo Treaty, you know, with Mexico. Interesting. Yeah. One of the things we bring out quickly to tell you this, the very first Declaration of Independence in California was 1836, and it was from the Californios who lived in what was then known as Alta California. And in 1822, Mexico declared independence from Spain. Go figure. They used that Declaration of Independence business. And by 1836, the Californios had just about enough of Mexico in their, quote, centralized government that they declared independence. That was the first Declaration of Independence for California. And we had the third. We're very privileged to do the third for New California. So these things work. And we know this is going to succeed, too.
Yeah. Well, hey, I want to thank you for joining me, and beautiful, awesome information.
Well, feel
great
free
information.
You can contact me, Paul, at newcaliforniastate.com. That's Paul at newcaliforniastate.com, and certainly the website, newcaliforniastate.com.
Awesome. And I want to thank everybody that was hitting the share button. I want to thank everybody on Facebook, everybody on YouTube, and everybody on Periscope. And of course, Liberty One for helping us get the word out. I want to thank everybody for joining us, like I said, and we'll see you tomorrow evening. I'm going to go live and I will open up the phone lines tomorrow evening. Good night and God bless.